السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers, sisters and elders, بإذن الله تعالى we are on the subject of the آيات of سورة لقمان. On the ayah or ayat, two of them, which relate to manners, to the relationships that we have with one another. Today will be the last of the khutbas on that issue of manners, and then inshallah we have another four or five based on the ayat of the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended this section of the surah. So that will take us to, insha'Allah al-Musta'an, 52 khutbas on this, which is 1 year worth of khutbas on this particular thing. On a side note, I was just sharing with Babbi and Saeed. When the demonetization anniversary, which was announced for as a mark of national mourning, I was absolutely shocked. I don't know how many of you were shocked that 12 months had passed. How many of you were aware that 12 months had passed, that it was 1 year since demonetization? It lot of hit me like a hammer on my head, because we like to, we say, you know, time is fast, passing fast and this and that. 1 year, 12 months just went like the flash of, you know, like the blink of an eye. I mean, when you think about demonetization, it seems like it happened last week. But 12 months passed. And I remind myself anew that this is how this life of ours is going to pass. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that when we are resurrected, the malaika will ask this question, "Kam labithtum?" How long were you there in the world? And we will say, "Labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm." We stayed for maybe one day, maybe half a day, maybe a part of a day, few hours, few minutes. And the actual life itself could be any duration. You know, you could have lived for 100 years, you could have lived for 1,000 years, but it will seem as if it was a blink of an eye, absolute flash. And these reminders that come to us, for example, this, as I mentioned, the demonetization thing or whatever, these are reminders for us that we need to wake up out of this trance that we are living in, this ghaflat that we are living in. That's why I am a strong proponent and supporter of the celebration of birthdays. I think birthdays are extremely important to celebrate. Very, very important. But to celebrate the way I have mentioned before, and I'm going to mention again, just in case you have forgotten. And what is the way of celebrating a birthday? To sit down in reflection. To take a piece of paper, blank sheet of paper, and write down, what did I do with my life from last year to this year? What did I achieve in my life from last year to this year? What actions of mine may have pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these last 12 months? What actions of mine may have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these last 12 months? And then most importantly, what is the life change that I am proposing to make going forward now in this new year, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahu alam, if Allah gave you the whole year or not, but at least He gave you that day. What changes am I planning to make in the year going forward? This is the way of celebrating birthdays, not cut cakes. So do celebrate birthdays. Sit down peacefully and make this reflection. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decide to change your and my life. And for that, you don't have to wait for the day you were born. Today is your birthday. Tomorrow is another birthday. Every day we open our eyes, Allah gave us one more day. And therefore, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day. Why? Not because we got some more breathing time. No. breathing time, quite literally in the sense that the idiom breathing time means. In English language, breathing time means in an emergency, it's those few moments of time that you got to do something to save yourself. At least we have some breathing time. Means what? Means, you know, between the time the hangman hits the noose, we got some time. That is the meaning of looking at life. And this is what we need to do. And I remind myself over and over and over again that the only thing which gets us results is action. Nothing else. It is not intention. It is not knowledge. It is not wisdom. It is nothing. It is action. Actual action produces results. Nothing else produces results. In this world, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Except what he works for. There is nothing for a man or a woman in this world except that which he or she works for. Allah did not say except what he knows, no? Except what he or she works for. And that applies across the board. It applies to our ibadat, it applies to our worldly life, it applies to our businesses, it applies to raising of children, you name it. And I think it is high time we wake up to this fact and we do something about this. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith, don't curse time because I am time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to create whatever kind of environment we choose to create. And guaranteed that He would not change it unless we changed it ourselves. So if we create a good environment, Allah will not turn it into a bad environment just for fun. Let me see what happens to them. Put some suffering into them. I like to see them suffer. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Allah does not do this. And vice versa, if you destroy yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to change that and convert it into a beautiful environment of hayatan tayyiba unless you make the effort. Allah does not give Umar bin Abdul Aziz as the leader for a gang of bandits. Doesn't happen. Does not happen. We have to make tawbah and stop being bandits. First, before we ask for great leaders. Great leaders do not come from the air. The avatar philosophy is Hindu philosophy. It's not part of Islam. God does not descend on the earth to do anything for anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created fundamental laws based on which this dunya runs. Allah himself is not bound by these fundamental laws. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to show us His greatness and majesty so we worship Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acted in certain instances against His own fundamental laws to show what He can do, Jalla Jalaluhu. A fundamental law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that for a child to be born, there must be the meeting of a man and a woman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Isa alayhi salam without a father. And when people started worshipping Isa alayhi salam and they said, no, he is son of God because he has no father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's wrong with you? Long before Isa alayhi salam, I created Adam who had neither father nor mother. So look at that. Whose qudrat is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes, the fundamental law is that women give birth to children. But Hawa alayhi salam was born out of Adam alayhi salam. So in that sense, if you say who is the mother of Hawa alayhi salam, is a man. Adam alayhi salam. He's not a mother in the traditional sense of mother. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her out of his body. Why does Allah need to do that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam without a mother and father. He made the prototype and put life into it. He could have done the same thing with the woman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show whose khudrat is it. He wants to show that he can do whatever he wants. He is not bound by the rules. What does it mean? It means that only Allah can do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created gravity, which is the force by which the any free-floating object is attracted towards the earth. And any free-floating object is attracted towards the earth, and the rate of acceleration of that is 32 feet per second per second. And this applies across the board. Whatever the size of the object, it falls towards the earth at the same speed. And you know, I'm sure many of you have seen the on WhatsApp, there was a wonderful little clip about this experiment in a vacuum chamber where, you know, you drop a feather and a metal ball and they both fall. That's the principle. That's the fundamental law. So now if you take, high-flying leap off a 20-story building and you say, if Allah wants to save me, He can. There's absolutely no dispute with your statement. And you can enjoy the fact that I agree with your statement until you meet Mother Earth. After that, you will not be capable of agreeing or disagreeing with anybody. That is the truth. I can give you any number of examples. I don't think it is required. It is the fundamental law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you allow your phones to ring in the masjid, then the phone will get formatted straight away. For God's sake, alhamdulillah. So seriously, I mean, think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fundamental laws and they apply across the world. And these laws apply to human beings. They are physical laws like gravity and aerodynamics and thermodynamics and so on and so forth. They are laws of success and failure in this world. All kinds of laws. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave us ikhtiyar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to act on our own. Number two. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just make the laws and give us the power but no guidance. Allah did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like an open book. This life is an examination, no doubt. But this is not an examination like the mindless regurgitation of undigested facts that we do and call it exam. The regurgitation of undigested food is called vomit. The regurgitation of undigested information is called exams, which we do and we think we are greatly successful. You are not. It does not prove anything. It does not prove that you have knowledge. It does not prove that you have understanding. It only proves that you have a memory which was able to regurgitate the facts within a specific time frame, which itself is an insane system in the first place. Anyway, so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the laws of which run the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu then gave us the ability to do things for ourselves. He gave us quwwat, He gave us irada, He gave us strength, He gave us the ability to judge the criterion, He gave us intelligence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us without guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us guidance in two forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His kitab, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the teacher of the kitab, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So it's an examination, but it's an open book examination. It's not an examination of memory, it's an examination of application of knowledge. You don't have to go anywhere to understand how the education system needs to change. But then you can't do that unless you're going around with blindfolds, on your eyes. You don't even understand what you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His life as an examination system, and He created that life as an open book examination system. He sent you the kitab, He sent you the Nabi, He allowed you to refer to that all through that examination, entire time, from the time you are, not even time you are born, from the time you become baligh, because the exam only starts once you have become baligh and akhil. Before that it's free time. But from the time you become baligh until you have intelligence, I don't even want to talk about that, I mean, mercifully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different standard. Until we die. And that whole time, nobody takes away the book from you. The book is not shut down. Nobody says, no, most welcome, please read the book. Please refer to the book any number of times. Please write, please rewrite. Please erase, write again. Listen to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The teacher is standing there. Listen to him. He taught you the book. Listen to him. You made a mistake. No problem. Erase it. Write it again. How many times? Any number of times. 10 million times. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system. But then also in that system, once the curtain parts, once the curtain is lifted, once the time ends, it ends. Khalas. Then there is no returning to the exam. Then we wait for the reward of the examination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best of rewards, inshallah. But that reward will be based on what? On what you write. On what you and I write. What is the meaning of write? Our lives. Action. Application of knowledge. The open book examination is not testing you and me about how much we read or how much we memorized or how much we knew. It is testing on how much we acted upon. So a person who knows the entire book by heart, who knows all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by heart, and believe me, there are people who are hafiz of Quran, they are hafiz of all the siyasita kitabs. And I'm not saying all of them are bad people. No, alhamdulillah, mashallah, there are people who do that and also apply, and all power to them. They will be among the greatest and the muqarrabun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. But I'm saying, just as a matter of example, if somebody memorizes all of that, but does not apply that in his life, then it will not benefit him. Not only will it not benefit him, it will become a hujjat against him on the day of judgment, because he will not be able to say, I did not know. Because you can't say you did not know. You memorized the whole thing. You knew that by heart. Please understand, we are not silicon chips. We are human beings. And that's the reason why we have to focus on what is it that I am doing. I speak only and only to remind myself. Because on the day of judgment, I will only be asked about what I did. Just as you will be asked about what you did. You will not be questioned about me, and I will not be questioned about you. So let us focus on ourselves. Let us not worry about other people. Let's not think about them and say, look at this one, look at that. Don't look at anyone. Look at yourself. And understand that practice is the biggest and most powerful form of dawah. There is no dawah which is better and bigger than practice. Practice is the most powerful form of dawah. It's not lectures. It's not writings. It is your actual action, my actual action. That is the most powerful form of dawah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He does not change the condition of a people until they change it themselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the good condition of a people as long as they do not change their state of goodness themselves by committing sins, by doing all kinds of problems. And similarly, the bad condition of a people, Allah will not change it, will not lift trials and tribulations, especially from Muslims. Allah will not lift the trials and tribulations, especially from Muslims, until we do something about our own lives. Because please understand, why do trials and tribulations come on you in the first place? Trials and tribulations come on us. Why? Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi nasi liyudhiqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. So that they will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. We give them a small punishment before the big punishment so that they turn towards us and save themselves from the big punishment. The first ayat I recited from Surah Ar-Rum, the fasad that you see on the face of the ocean, on the face of the land and the sea, is because of the actions of people. Because بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And why are these? Why does Allah allow it to happen? People ask this question. لِيُزِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِيُونَ. So that they can taste a little bit of the effect of their actions before they turn towards Allah, before they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah is not giving us the whole punishment. The whole punishment is much more than this. This is only a taste of it. You and I may look at what is happening in the world today. Just yesterday, we are talking about Rohingyas. What is happening to them? How many of you know what's happening in Somalia? 1.5 million children have died because of starvation. These have become numbers for us, just numbers. 1.5 million. 15 lakh. What is 15 lakh? Just numbers. Subhanallah, how much? We have wept enough to tears have dried. And we are living in a world where our leaders are playing games. And most of us and all of us, what do? We complain. Look at this one, look at that one, look at the king, this king, that king, what not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly, problems need solutions, not complaints. Complaining about this one, that one is not going to change anything. You want to change it, go do change yourself. Now you might say, well, how do I change the king of Saudi Arabia? You can't change him, you have to change yourself. If enough of us change ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our leaders. As I told you, you cannot get pious and just leaders if you and I are a bunch of bandits. If you will not even give, the last Juma, if you will not even give your own sisters what is due as inheritance from there and your parents, what adal do you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What adal do you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What justice you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are not even willing to give your own sisters what is due to them. You swallow your own brother's haqq. What do you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You grab people's land. Somebody says the fog in Delhi was so thick that Robert Wadra grabbed his own land. I see. What kind of thing is this? This is our life. And you want Allah to come and change it for you. Now, brothers and sisters, please remember, this mythology and magic is not in Islam. You're focused on haqq, on reality. And the reality is that unless we change ourselves, nothing is going to change. So what are manners? Manners are all about changing ourselves. But creating the right environment. Manners means consideration for other people. Who are other people? The one sitting next to you in the masjid is other people. When you go out of the masjid, people you meet on the road are other people. When you're driving your car, other people are other people. Everyone other than you is other people. Consideration for other people. What is the meaning of consideration? It means you put their rights before yours. What else does consideration mean? It means you give them before you take for yourself. Is that painful? Yes. Of course. But is it beneficial? That you have to decide. According to me, it's beneficial in this dunya wal akhirah. In the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you and me for it. In this dunya, you are presenting an image of Islam which is the real image of Islam. You're not talking about that. You're not going around saying, but you see, this is not the real image of Islam. This is like the indigo guys. You beat up the guy. And after that, the MD says, this is not part of our culture. Who the hell cares what is part of your culture? This is what we are seeing. Who cares whether it's part of your culture or not part of your culture? You just beat up the guy. Who cares what's your culture? That is our issue with Islam. We do bad stuff. Then you say, but you see, this is not Islam. If it is not Islam, how come you are doing it? No, I didn't do it. Somebody did it. How come you don't stop it? How come you don't speak about it? Hey, we have to get real. We can't live in this world like this. Total fool's paradise, total denial. The two differentiating factors, this is a negative way of differentiating, but two differentiating factors about Muslims, generally speaking, I don't mean everybody, but I'm saying generally speaking. One is denial that whatever is happening to us is our, that we are responsible. We deny this. And second one is we blame it on somebody else. It's always someone else's fault. Please understand, this is the denial does not change reality. Denial only ensures that you cannot deal with reality. That's all it does. So if we want to change our reality, and believe me, it's high time we do that, because not only is it an issue of people like me, I've got both my feet in the cover, and I've got people to push me inside and bury me also. Bacha hasara kai kuki, kai hasara bacha. I am talking about your future generations, this guy. Alhamdulillah, Allah freed me from that. Allah gave me sons whose nappies I never had to change. So that's very good. Fantastic. But beyond that, I am freed from future generations. I am the last of my line. Take a good look at me, because you are never going to see anybody else. But you have got others. What kind of a world are you handing down to them? Huh? What do you want them to do? When they face that world and they look back and say, well, this is what my father handed down to me. What kind of dua do you want them to make for you? We have to change ourselves. Please, please, please. Understand this very, very clearly. So manners are consideration. Manners are to think of others and feel for them and act to help them when they need help. Help them when they need help. And that's the reason why Rasulullah said to the Sahaba once, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you more if you give a loan, interest-free loan, qard hasana, to a brother, than he will reward you if you give the same amount to him as sadaqah. Sadaqah is gift, you give it, nothing to come, take back. Loan, qard hasana also, you're not charging interest, but then he has to repay it. So Sahaba said, Rasulullah, we give sadaqah, which is, you know, a gift, and you are saying Allah will reward us less than he will reward us for a loan if we give it to the same person, which loan we take back. How is that possible? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you give him the loan when he needs it. You give sadaqah when you feel like giving it. Eh? See the beauty of this deen, wallah. He said the loan, he's asking you, I need help today, help me. So even though it's a loan, even though you tell the guy, okay, now you got to, I'm giving this to you, you got to pay me back. But that is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more virtue and more value and more reward than giving sadaqah. So every time, you know, all of us, we give, I've said this many times before, we put all our zakat together and we give it to Ramadan. No problem. But you are giving it once in a year in Ramadan. We give people iftar hampers. And we say, oh, but these are poor people, they need the food, all of them are anacondas. They eat only once in a year in Ramadan, khalas, after that, no problem. Huh? So, alhamdulillah, continue to do that. I'm not saying it's a bad action, you're giving something, alhamdulillah, please do it. But Islam says, help people when they need the help, not only when you feel like doing something. This is manners. This is the meaning of manners and consideration. And that's the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ said, even if you know that the day of judgment is going to be established tomorrow, he said, plant a tree. You know, people like to quote all of this. They say, this is the Islam's orientation towards environmental protection. I say, forget all this. This is Islam's orientation towards the whole world. Consideration for people. Plant a tree at a time when you cannot hope to harvest the fruit of that tree. There's no way you will not be there. Build a bridge after you cross the river. You got across the river. You're not going to come back there again. But build a bridge for other people. That is the meaning of manners. That is the meaning of consideration. Yeah? And you do all of this because of only one thing, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me narrate for you some hadith in this context before I end. In Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, who narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he, that person, he or she, will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his evil. Please notice, he did not say Muslim neighbor. Whose neighbor? No matter that neighbor is Muslim or not Muslim, no one must be harmed by a Muslim. Everyone, the whole world, Muslim or not Muslim, must be secure because of Muslims. And remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving a wa'id, which is like, I mean, he's not saying, you know, it is not a good thing, don't do it. No, he's saying that person will not enter Jannah. Now, what more do you want? What are the two places? You got something in between? Yalla, don't give me Jannah, give me an economy class. No. You got two places. If you don't enter Jannah, you got to go somewhere. You're not going to be there in limbo. Which is the other place? That person, that Muslim, he will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his evil. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu reported from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, let the believer in Allah and the day of judgment either speak good or remain silent. And then he said, let the believer in Allah and the day of judgment honor his neighbor. Once again, neighbor. Not Muslim, not Muslim. And then he said, let the believer in Allah and the day of judgment honor his guest. He did not say Muslim or non-Muslim. And this is in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari. Now some people, that's why learn deen systematically. When you do not understand usul of hadith, you make these ridiculous arguments. Some people say, what you see when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, everyone in Madinah was Muslim. First of all, that is historically incorrect. Because everyone in Madinah was not Muslim. And secondly, the pronouncements and teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not for Medina for that time. They are his pronouncements for the whole world until the end of time. So he's not talking about Medina. He's saying anywhere in the world, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this world, if there is a Muslim, that Muslim must not harm his neighbor, no matter who the neighbor is. If there is a Muslim, that Muslim must honor his guest, no matter who that particular guest is. If there is a Muslim, and if he or she decides to speak, they must speak good or they must remain silent. That is the meaning of the hadith. It is not for rest, it's not restricted by time and place. It is for all Muslims until the last of us, whoever that is. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma slaughtered a sheep and he said, have you presented something from this, a gift to my Jewish neighbor? Now who is he talking about? Jewish neighbor, non-Muslim, which means everyone in Medina was not a Muslim. That's why I say read history. And then they asked him, he insisted over and over again. His family said, why are you insisting so much? He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and kept on commending and insisting and emphasizing the importance of the neighbor to me until I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make the neighbor an inheritor in my wealth. Sunan Abu Dawud. This is in Sunan Abi Dawud. Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best friend in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he who is the well-wisher of his companions, and the best neighbor is the one who behaves best towards his neighbor. And this is in Tirmidhi. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will accept these words from me and act upon them and teach people who will act upon them? When he replied that he would, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, took him by hand and counting five characteristics, he said, if you guard against the things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of men. If you are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allotted to you, you will be the richest of men. If you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. If you like others to have what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And he said, do not laugh too much, do not laugh immoderately, for immoderate laughter causes the heart to die. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and in Tirmidhi. I will repeat this 5 things. And he held the hand of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and he narrated this to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you guard against things which are forbidden, you will be the most devout of people. He's not even saying if you pray tahajjud, if you read more Quran. No, all of that do it. But first and foremost, plug the holes. Plug the leaks. Do not do something which Allah has prohibited. Don't do something which Allah has prohibited. Number 2. If you are pleased with what Allah has allotted to you, you will be the richest of men. Kill greed. Have contentment in the heart. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. What Allah gave me, Alhamdulillah. Don't look at what other people have and, you know, spend your whole life in envy and jealousy. Number 3, if you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. See the words of these ahadiths, wallah. If you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. What does it mean? If you are not kind to a neighbor, then what? Your iman itself is in doubt. What more do you want? If you are kind to your neighbor, you will be a believer. If you like others to have what you like for yourself, he's not saying if you like other Muslims to have, others, whoever they are, Muslim, non-Muslim, if you like them to have what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. This one is the fundamental belief about Dawatul Islam in the first place. Why do we give Dawah? Not because we are asking them for some subscription or something. No. You give Dawah because you want them to have what you have. Alhamdulillah. But this is not restricted only to for Dawah. This is restricted, this is extended to everything. And that's the reason why Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, when they slaughtered a sheep, did you give something to the neighbor? The Jewish guy? Why? We like to have this, give it to him also. So if you like for others what you like for yourself, you will be a Muslim. And then he said, do not laugh immoderately. There goes the entertainment world. Islam does not prevent you from laughing. Please understand. I mean, there's no, it's not haram to laugh, it's not haram to have fun, it's not haram to joke. Most welcome. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do it himself. He's talking about immoderately. Islam is the meaning of justice. Everything in due proportion. Not over the top. Is it jais to mourn something sad? Is it jais to feel sad about something? Yes. But if you take that feeling sadness to the point where now you are screaming and shouting and rolling on the ground and throwing mud on your face and all, this is immoderate. This is not dignified. My father died, my mother died, my children, whoever, whatever it is. Yes, of course you feel sad because this is tabai, this is the sign of the softness of your heart. Alhamdulillah, make dua for them. Do it in a dignified manner. There are boundaries. Similarly, happiness, I'm so happy now, I'm doing all kinds of funny things. No. By all means, be happy. But express that happiness in a dignified manner. I'm angry, somebody did something wrong. I'm foaming at the mouth, raving, ranting, screaming, shouting, cursing, beating. No. Is it haram to become angry? No, of course not. It is natural to become angry. Anyone who does not become angry when there is a need to become angry either is stupid or he does not know what's going on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry. I'll show you any number of hadiths where they said his face became red with anger. So who said Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never got angry? That's rubbish. Read the seerah. Of course he got angry. But did he rave and rant? Did he scream? Did he curse? Did he beat somebody? No. Controlling of that anger. Having anger, yes. Controlling of that anger. Islam is the meaning of boundaries, of living a life which is beautiful and dignified. And the last of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu narrated from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, he will not enter Jannah whose neighbor is not secure from his wrongful conduct. from something wrong that he done. This is in Sahih Muslim. And the last of them, Abu Shuray radiallahu anhu, he narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe. 3 times. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who is that? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person whose neighbor does not feel safe from his evil. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to follow what he has advised us in his kitab. And to follow what his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us by word and speech and action. I bear witness on my behalf as well as on your behalf that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he completed his mission. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave his mission incomplete. And whatever that he was charged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach, he taught both by speech and by demonstration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our shahada on this, in this particular matter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore to accept our shahada and to make us those who follow the shahada that we have just given. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass us with flying colors, inshallah, from this open exam in which the book is open, the teacher is with us. All that we need to do is to read the book, listen to the teacher, and do what we have been taught and told to do, which leads to our benefit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to save you and your families and your cities and your countries from all evil. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.